Today on Real Radio.
If God's calling you into the ministry, you need to take those things very seriously. And by the way, you will manage your money at home in a godly manner as well. You won't be bouncing checks all over town because, not because you don't have any money, but because you're a mismanager of funds. And God will not promote you there until that's fixed. We need to be holy with our money. We need to be holy with God's money.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in a mini-series called Qualifications for the Ministry. Timothy was young at the time, and his mentor Paul had many more years under his belt. It's a presentation that takes a look at the first seven verses of chapter 3, called quite simply, Qualifications for the Ministry. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
But the husband of one wife, he's to be a husband of one wife. She's to satisfy him. And by the way, this goes for all of us men, if you're married. I have a belief in my heart that you're a pastor in your home long before you're ever a pastor in the pulpit. I believe that you're the priest in your home before you're ever the priest in the pulpit. You will lead your family in prayers at home before you ever come to the pulpit. And because of that, I believe that each of us men who have a home are pastors of our homes. And we need to realize that. And if our women are not satisfying to us, don't change her. Don't change her. You ask God to change your heart. If she's not satisfying to you, you better ask God to change your heart, mister. Because you're to love her with all your heart. And I believe that with all of my being, because I know it's true. In this world of Madison Avenue hype, we need to be content with our wives, and God will give us a heart to love them. And it's a very serious thing. And it better be happening in the ministry, see? Because the enemy will come and derail you in a very horrible way. And so he goes on to say that the minister, the overseer of the church, the pastor's to be a temperate man, a vigilant, some of your King James translations might have. In the Greek, it literally means in the middle, or the level, or a mean. Not the high, not the low, but a mean. It can be translated straight-headed. He needs to be a straight-headed man. Somebody who's not swinging up on this side with doctrine and down here with emotion. This over here with pleasure and way over there with labor. He needs to be a middle-of-the-road, level-headed kind of guy. Not some kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants person. Then he goes on and he says, of a sober mind or sober-minded. Very interesting word. It means literally to be sound in thoughts, to have sound thoughts. To be serious. And I want to say something. It's not serious in the way of being a bummer to everybody. What are you doing? Studying for the ministry. You know, it's so weird. A couple weeks ago, I got my hair cut. And the lady's cut my hair. And she goes, so what do you do for a living? You know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. How come you're not at work? This is my lunchtime. And I'm a pastor. And she goes, so what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. Are you serious? You know, the big mirror in front of you, I'm like looking at myself. Like, what is it? Is there like a big nose with a mustache in there? And I go, what's the deal? She goes, well, I don't know. I mean, I think she thought that I was supposed to be like 95 years old with a black, you know, bag over my head and a black suit. And it was so strange. And, you know, my kids were running, not running around, but, you know, we're kind of goofing off and having a good time. And, you know, she thought, well, I'm supposed to be, you know, some kind of a morbid guy. And that's not what it means at all. It means this: sound thoughts, yes, in all things. It means that. But also to have very serious thoughts concerning the Bible, concerning doctrine, concerning the church. Serious thoughts. Sense of humor? Absolutely. I think God has one personally. Nobody. Hey, you can't slam God for not having a sense of humor. Anybody who can take a donkey and talk to a prophet out of the donkey's mouth, I think is hot. That is great. And the great thing is Balaam turned around and talked back to his donkey. You know, that's a great story. Read it in Numbers there. It's hilarious. But not now. But the thing is, very serious about doctrine. And we're serious about doctrine here. We're serious about the conduct of the church. I'm really blessed. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're real serious about a lot of things. And the world doesn't seem too serious about money or doctrine. And those are the areas that we seem to focus on the most here. Not that we ask for money. We don't do that. You know that. But when you give a dime, that dime better be accounted for. Because it isn't your dime. It's not our dime. It's God's dime. But you know what? God is honoring the seriousness that we take towards the ministry here. And you may not know this. If you give $100 to, you name it, the music ministry, or you want $100 to go to the youth ministry, it goes to that ministry that you designate. If you leave it blank, it goes to the general operating fund of this place. But did you know this? If you put some money for a crusade or something, or an outreach, and we don't have an outreach planned, we still designate that as an outreach. We put it away in a CD. We take your $100 and stuff it with other people's and put it away because we don't need it right then and there for that call. It's labeled, and you know what's so neat? You give $100, and 3 months later, we have a concert, and 5 people come forward and accept Jesus Christ, and that's what you gave your money for, only you didn't give $100 anymore. You gave $107 now. You see what I'm saying? We believe that's biblical. We believe that's scriptural. And you don't know anything about it, but you wind up getting up to heaven and, but God, I gave $100. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. No, you gave $107. Oh, cool. Okay. If God's calling you into the ministry, you need to take those things very seriously. And by the way, you will manage your money at home in a godly manner as well. You won't be bouncing checks all over town because, not because you don't have any money, but because you're a mismanager of funds. And God will not promote you there until that's fixed. We need to be holy with our money. We need to be holy with God's money. He goes on to say that the overseer needs to have good behavior in thinking, in speaking. It means literally orderly conduct. His thinking and what comes out of his mouth should be orderly, and when it comes to this office, praiseworthy. He doesn't say, well, gee, I'm sorry you're having troubles in your marriage. Just do what feels right in your heart. I had somebody come recently and say that. The pastor of my church says I need to just do what feels right to my heart. Oh, gosh. Our heart's desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? We need to be men of good behavior, orderly conduct in thinking and in speaking, and we can just put it into a phrase like this: godly alignment. We're not walking around telling off-color jokes or gray jokes or silly things. We're serious, knowing that every idle word that we speak will be judged before the Lord. The man of God also needs to be hospitable. That word in the Greek means to be open-hearted or to be a lover of guests. And let me qualify this a little bit, people. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." When we invite strangers into our home, it could be an angel. I think I saw an angel out here about a month ago. I mean, I don't know, but I'm every time I think about it, I think more and more. It was very early on a Saturday morning, and I was studying. I heard these little wheels, a shopping cart going by my window. And there was this huge man, all dressed in black, and he was obviously a homeless man. And I looked and I said, oh, Lord, that's so sad. So I wish I could help him. I have no money. I have nothing here. And I just put my head down. I said a quick prayer for the guy, and I started to open up my book, and I couldn't go. I looked again. The guy's gone. And then the Lord spoke to my heart, there's food next door. There's food next door. And so I ran, and I got a bunch of stuff that I knew that he could use. And I went looking for that. I couldn't find the guy. I went back behind this building back over here. And the guy was way down over there at Telephone Avenue. And I said, excuse me, sir. And the man stopped, turned around, and he starts coming towards me. And he's going, did I do something wrong? I'm sorry if I've done something wrong. I said, oh, no. I said, would you like to have some food? And as he was approaching me, the man's cleaning up his... He was a beautiful man, too. He was incredible, about 6'3", well-built man. And here's what blew my mind. Here's what made me think he was an angel. The guy had the most meek and humble and precious spirit of a man. And he's trying to clean himself up, and he's going, what can I do for you? I go, no, I want to do something for you. Can you take this food and use it? He didn't even look at me. He says, yes, I certainly can. Thank you so much. And he opened up his little, he had like a little hut, on his cart, just really neat, put it away. And he said, are you from this Calvary Chapel over here? I said, yeah. And he goes, praise the Lord, that's great. He goes, but you have no business helping me. And I went, what? And he goes, you see, there's a man who sleeps in the dumpster right out here. And he needs your help. I don't need your help. You need to help him. And I said, okay, that's great. Thanks. He turned and I went my way and I'm walking. And I never saw the guy again. And I've never seen this man that supposedly sleeps back here, but we've been looking. But the encounter with this man was incredibly humbling. I was blessed. And it was different. It was very different. In Hebrews 13:2, it says, don't forget to entertain strangers, for in doing so, some have ministered to angels unaware. Isn't that heavy? Just God sending an angel by to check your heart. In 1 Peter 4:9, Peter says, use hospitality one toward another without grudging. Isn't that incredible? Come on over, okay. And they don't really want you there. You come in and they got the plate out there and you take two bites, they take the plate away. Oh, nice couch. Don't sit on the couch. Okay, I wasn't. I was just going to stand here all night. It's okay, Nice. Oh, no. Hey, forget it, man. Can we go in your backyard? Don't step on my grass. Hey, I used to be like that. Don't tell anybody. I used to go out there with like scissors with my lawn. Man. Come on, kids, we're going to have a birthday party. Not in my yard, we're not. Why? Somebody could step on it. Hey, you need to be hospitable. Open to strangers. And it means this, not to hitchhike or pick up every hitchhiker on the corner, okay? This is the context of what Paul was speaking to Timothy. In those days, Christians would travel from Jericho to Jerusalem. They would get all dirty. The sun would set. There's no place to stay. A Christian is to take a stranger Christian, a Christian who's from a strange part of town or a strange city, and bring them in. That's what it means. We need to be very careful in these days. If God tells you to pitch up a hitchhiker, be sure it's God telling you. You need to exercise wisdom and judgment. But if you see me standing on the corner with my Volkswagen broken down, you had better, after this message, pick me up. Oh, is that the pastor waving? Oh, yeah, say hi. Oh, look, he's walking for his health. Baloney. I need a ride. Must be hospitable. And then we'll have to end here for now. Able to teach. We'll end in verse 2. Able to teach. And or some of your Bibles say apt to teach. The pastor, listen, critical. We need to understand this. This is critical here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul tells us again that the Holy Spirit causes some to be evangelists, pastors, pastor teachers, apostles, and the list goes on. We have to understand this. In Ephesians 4:11, literally the translation is the Holy Spirit giving some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers is referred to there. But there is the gift of a teacher. And this is an absolute mandate if a man is to be a pastor of the church. Number one, he must be a pastor teacher. You cannot be a pastor and not be a teacher. Are you with me? There are a lot of pastors who aren't teachers. To be a pastor, you must be a teacher. That's a must, absolute must. But you can be a teacher without being a pastor. The gift of teacher is very widespread. The prerequisite for the overseer of the church must be a pastor teacher, absolute must. In 1 Timothy 5:17, he says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine." I'm to labor in the word and in doctrine. To be a qualified overseer, we must be a teacher. We must be able to teach. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says that we are to be able to teach others. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says to be diligent, to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To be a pastor teacher, you must be a student of the word. And might I add this? It will take years. If you feel God's calling you to be a pastor teacher, you need to redeem the time. You need to pump your heart and your life with the word of God. And don't be surprised if it takes, like Paul the Apostle, 14 years. Moses, how many years? 80 years? Maybe 40 years at best with Moses? I tell you, Spurgeon is noted for being one of the incredible exceptions. After walking hard with Jesus Christ, Spurgeon went into the pulpit, I think, just under 10 years of being a Christian. That's heavy. God, who calls the man, also calls his life to experience things. And you're not to promote a novice, and we'll get into that obviously next week. But listen, if that's on your heart to be a pastor teacher, take that desire before God and have him search your heart. If you can do any other job, then do it. I'm here to tell you, I can make a fine living in the engineering field where I came from. That's not the issue. The issue is God brought me here. It came down to I had to obey God instead of Baxter. Are you with me? It's a call that God puts upon your life. You don't do it for pomp and for glory. God will move you that way. If you, and this is a prerequisite to minister in this church, and you may think I'm harsh, but if God's calling an assistant pastor to this fellowship, he has got to be a man who does not grab the glory from Jesus Christ himself. We need to be humble servants of Jesus. If I die or if I get called on to a different chapel somewhere, the man that's put into this place needs to be a man who is bent on exalting Jesus and not himself. And this church needs to be surrounded by servants who exalt Jesus and not themselves. Number one, you want to be a pastor? In Hebrews, I'm sharing this from my heart. You can read other books, that's fine. I encourage you to do so. This is from my heart. Hebrews 6:12, that simply means you ought to pattern your life after godly people. Pattern your life after godly people, but God's making you to be your man, his man. Number two, we need to consume ourselves in the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then personally, I speak for my own life. According to Acts 6:4, I need to exercise this more in my life. And from this day forward, God spoke to me yesterday, I will do this more. In Acts 6:4, the Bible says, but we need to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. God will call people. Your mandate is to pray and to preach the word of God and change by the Spirit's power their lives. And that hit me right between the eyes. It really hit me hard. Our hope for this church, my hope, is found in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are complete towards him. Isn't that neat? I don't care if you have a degree. I don't care if you went or did not go to Dallas Theological Seminary. I'd rather have you not. I want to know your heart. You have a heart after God. You have a heart to walk after him. Then you'll be a precious minister of the gospel if you keep your heart in front of the throne. And then this. Some of you, this will make sense to you. Some of you, it will not. To me, it does. A brother shared with me this week his belief in why God established this church. And when I thought, oh, this ought to be good. And when he shared it, I just said, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Went and shut my office, and I cried. And then on Friday morning, a brother came in, and I shared it with him, and then he cried. Listen to this. It's found in 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to be reading the Jack version. This is the Jack version, and I do this often in my private life. 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2 says, Jack therefore departed from there, that's Costa Mesa, and escaped. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to see him. Verse 2, and everyone, check this, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in heart or soul, gathered to him, so he became pastor over them, and there were about 400 with him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Some of you are visiting, you know what I'm talking about. But some of us have really had some battles in our lives. Some of us have been twisted and torn by the world and even by the church in some respects. And some of us have been real knuckleheads at the places that we came from. Okay? And in your transition from there to here, you've purposed it in your heart, you know what, let's start fresh. Let's be new with Jesus. And you've come. And it's a new start. And I'm blessed. And we're glad that you're here. And I'm telling you, you are my greatest reward. I feel so often a crummy pastor to you. I feel like I'm blowing it often. But you know what? You guys are voting. Every Sunday you vote with your feet. You can vote with your feet to go somewhere else, or you can come back, the few of you. And you come back, and I'm blown away. And I'm really blessed to have you here. And I'm really blessed to be here.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 3. It's a presentation called Qualifications for the Ministry. And we'll continue with more of this mini-series on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, last week we presented part of our teacher's What If series that challenged us to face the reality and historicity of Jesus of Nazareth and all that he claimed and accomplished. In fact, there's more than just what was presented here on Real Radio. Well, we're extending the offer that for your gift of any amount to Real Radio, you'll receive the entire CD series. Again, it's called the What If series, so identify it by title when you get in touch. And there's more than one way to do so. Here's our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.